awesome. You know, God is so good, isn't he? I'm going to tell a quick story. I can get away with this because I'm married to her. She's going to be a young 57 this Friday. And I share that because they didn't expect her to make 30. So she looks pretty good, doesn't she? Yeah, so 57. It's not supposed to make it to 30. I'd say she's doing great. And so God is awesome, isn't he? So it's okay to share your age in that kind of circumstance, isn't it? Okay. She does. She agrees. If not, I'll find out later on. I agree. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that amen. We want to continue to share with you regarding C Factor and our importance in raising godly children. And there's a lot to say about that. I want to share with you just a real quick survey that they did actually in February of this year. What they found out is although most parents say they're trying to improve their parenting skills, few look to the Bible or the church for guidance. 60% rely on their own experiences as opposed to the Word of God. And we wonder sometimes why there's a 50-plus percent divorce rate even in the church. Pretty amazing, huh? Only one-fifth say they receive a lot of guidance from the text, such as the Bible or other sacred writings. Only 15% look to the church as a source of guidance for parenting skills. That's scary. By the way, this was a poll done by a Christian organization amongst people who claim to believe in God. That's even scarier. And here's what most people said, that their biggest source and most important source of advice that they rely the most upon is simply their own experience. And one person likened it is to a toddler saying, no, I'll do it myself. It's actually a one quote that was actually made. And that's really what it boils down to, doesn't it? God in his word gives us very clear advice and very clear instruction. In fact, I believe my memory is correct. On Sunday, Pastor used that verse. The word of God is there. It's profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction. What? In righteousness, right? And that's what it's there for. It's there to teach us and to instruct us and to show us what we should do. The survey also found that 14% said they were familiar, only 14% said they were familiar with any kind of biblical teaching as far as parenting is concerned. 14%. Were even familiar with what the Bible had to say about parenting. That's scary. But you're not among those because you're here tonight. And you've had the opportunity to hear. And thank you so much for being here. Father, we just ask now tonight, Lord, as we look at the Word of God, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for your instruction. We ask for your insight. God, we recognize the importance of the Word of God. We recognize that wisdom comes from you. You even declare in James chapter 1, if we lack wisdom, and we confess as parents many times we lack wisdom, but if we lack wisdom, we can ask you and you will give it to us. And God, we thank you for that now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I love this man. Giving a living illustration of how the Word of God helps to see and C factor our children, we have a small window to enhance this message, a living illustration of Junior Bible Quiz.
That was good. Good save. You are the man. Whoa. What are you doing up there?
Hello. Okay. I'm on. All right. I'm on. All right. A brief. Briefly, I'm here tonight to tell you about Junior Bible Quiz, why I think it's relevant for today, why I think it's critical and important for today, and in just a minute they're going to come up and they're going to show you some of the things that they learn. And my family's been involved with JBQ for about 6 years. I personally have been involved with it about 3 years. And a lot of people out there, maybe if you're new to the church, you don't really know what JBQ is all about. And there's two things with JBQ that I really love, and I'm not going to focus on the one, even though And that's how much fun we have. We have fun, right, guys? You guys have fun? Okay. But it's not just fun. These guys learn. It's from first grade to sixth grade. So this is before they hit their teen years, okay? And that's just a little hint of why this is so critical. These are from first grade to sixth grade. They learn competition. They learn sportsmanship. They learn so much. And it's so exciting to see someone that's a first grader and go through the whole thing and to be a sixth grader and how they've changed, they've matured. They've seen that it's not about their own points, but it's about their team. Okay, and I love that, and I could talk all night, but I'm not going to talk about that. What I want to talk about is the Word of God. And if you were in Sunday school Sunday, if you were here at church, you heard the pastor say about not sound doctrine, itchy ears, how important the Word is, and even tonight, how important the Word is. And if you can close your eyes for a minute and just think of the headlines, it's turmoil. The world is in chaos. And now I want you to see how important it is. As you guys go ahead and come on up, you have to bear with us. They have to get organized. I want you to keep in mind the world today, the headlines today. And as we go through these things, yes, JBQ is about fun. We have a lot of fun. But listen to what these kids are learning. These are first graders through sixth graders, okay? And I believe if you have a kid, if you have a child in this church, it's something that you do with your child. We have fantastic. It's no one person of us has taught these kids this. This is a whole group effort. And we give a lot of ourselves. You've got coaches and officials over here. Just to be an official, you have to go through a whole stack of rules because this is some serious competition. And a lot of people don't know it, but there were over 60 teams at the state championship that we have every year. 60 teams, over 300 kids from all over Florida, usually Assembly of God churches all over the state of Florida. Now, when these guys go out, we have three teams. When they go out, they know that they represent Jesus, they represent their pastor, and they represent First Assembly. So these guys represent you, and that's what we teach them when they go out, to be on their best behavior. But out of all those 300 kids, they pick four teams from the state of Florida that get to advance to the regionals. Now, at this church, it's only happened one time, and I believe it was back with pastor's daughter, Michelle. That was the last time, and that was probably 15 years ago. And for the first time in all that time, we have a team that made it to third out of all those 60 teams, and they've got invited to go to regionals. So we're going to go over a few questions and just let the questions speak for themselves and listen to what they are and examine yourselves. I mean, if you have a child and you want them to learn this, they don't just learn it. Okay, we have coaches, we motivate them, we bribe them with prizes. we have one coach, Miss Gina and Tim here. They did a promotion for a month, and she had some very good prizes. I wish I was one of the kids that could get the prizes, okay? Those kids, in 1 month time, they studied over 6,000 minutes, which comes out to 100 hours. They studied the Word of God in 1 month. All these kids. They did that to prepare for the state championship. That's phenomenal, and that's an investment that's going to come back forever, okay? All right, bear with us. We don't have big microphones set up here, but all right, guys. What is the Bible?
The Bible is the inspired Word of God in His revelation to all people of Himself and His plan of salvation.
What does the word gospel mean?
Good news.
How did sin enter the world? Okay, guys, a quotation question. What did Peter say to the lame man at the temple gate?
Acts 3:6. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
We could go all night. There's 576 questions that they have to memorize. This is just a real small part. Now's the part where people that know of JBQ, they think of it as fun and learning Bible verses about Moses. But I want you to think about the times that we live in, and I want you to listen to these questions and the answers. What does repentance mean?
Having a change of heart, mind, and direction.
What is sanctification?
Being separated from sin and set apart to serve God.
What's faith?
Faith is belief and complete trust in God.
What is redemption? What is prayer?
Prayer is talking with God.
What is praise?
Praise is expressing our love to God for all He is and all He has done.
What is justification?
Justification is when we accept Jesus as our Savior, God accepts us as though we have not sinned.
You guys know all that, right? What do we mean when we say that God is omnipresent?
God is everywhere at the same time.
What part did God the Father have in creation?
God the Father gave the commands that caused the visible world to be created out of nothing.
Quotation question. According to John's Gospel, why did Jesus come to earth? Now, all those questions are the basic 10-point questions. Those are just the very first questions that they learn, the easy questions. We'll move on to a few harder, and it takes a while to get these. But, I mean, we have some here that have earned their Quoters Club, which is they have memorized 107, at least 103 of 107 quotes. That's a lot to memorize. What do we mean when we speak of the Antichrist?
The Antichrist is a man who will rule and reign for 1,000 years, determined to make all people worship him as God.
Stephen, quotation question. According to Romans chapter 8, what things cannot separate us from the love of God? Nathan, how can we determine God's will for our lives? Josiah, quote the verse from 1 Corinthians in which Paul explains the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Jonathan, quote the two verses of 1 Thessalonians in which Paul describes the rapture of the church. 20 points. How long will the Bible last?
Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Quotation question. Why is it important to memorize Bible verses?
Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Okay. 576. I just want to say, I mean, we talk a lot about legacy here, and this is the church. This is why we're doing legacy. It's important. The fruit, what's some of the fruit of JBQ? Well, your daughter, Michelle, that's some pretty good fruit, because it's not JBQ or a church. It's the word inside their heart. Talk about the gift that keeps on giving. I'm excited when I see the kids, you know, when they first start, they really struggle. It's hard to overcome that. And when they actually memorize a verse and they actually buzz in and get points, it's so exciting. But I would love to be able to see, because I believe that all these kids, they're going to have these moments when they're teenagers, that there's going to be people around them. There's going to be things that they don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, God's word is going to come outside of them. I mean, Sunday, the pastor preach that what's the main way that he hears from God? It's from God's word. And you know, when I was in high school, I had a very hectic time. I didn't have all the time to study for the test, but I would try to put it in once real good, and I would always believe God that if I put it inside, the Holy Spirit could bring it out. And these guys are putting the word inside, so that word is going to come alive and it's going to change their life. And it's exciting. So if you see these guys and they try to sell you tickets, we're going to have a fundraiser on April 15th. We believe we're going to do a steak dinner. We're trying to raise money, because it's going to cost us extra funds to go to Rome, Georgia for this district conference. And also we try to raise money so that we can do something fun with them over the summer. It's a worthy cause. It's the future of our church. It's an eternal investment, because it's in the word of God inside of their hearts that's going to not only touch their lives, it's going to come back and bless our church. It's going to bring more people into the church. It's going to, you know, transform the world through the word inside of them. So if you see them, support them. All right, guys.
See how God plans things? Isn't that amazing? You know, we were just talking about biblical advice and everything. Wow, it's amazing. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Real good stuff. Want to take just a few minutes if we can, and just want to share about, you know, the world paints a really poor image of men. Very poor image of men and who men are. I think you, Pastor, mentioned this, that it's hard to, you can't find a TV program where a man is presented in a good light, as an intelligent guy who does the right thing. They're typically presented as somebody that's bumbling, as almost as a buffoon, literally, and that's how they're presented. And that's total opposite of what God's intention for a man is to be. I'm not necessarily qualified to speak of what a woman of God should be, but I can speak about what a man of God should be. So I would, you know, some places that I wouldn't go. So, but let's you know, here's what the world understands, is that a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So what is the world going after in a man? After his heart. Because whoever has your heart has you. And whoever determines how your heart thinks has control of what you become. And who you are. And the world understands it sometimes better than the people of God understand it. The world understands that quite well. So the world tries to reprogram the heart of men and create almost a Jezebel model in women, and yes, I said that, to convince men that this is normal. And sometimes we watch that, and in the process we get reprogrammed and accept the lie and then hand that down to our children. And that's what happens. I'm just a guy. That's what guys do. Guys act like that. I'm just a guy. You know, there's a famous comedian that says that. Well, I'm just a guy. And that explains all the stupid things that he does. He just says, I'm a guy. Blue collar tour, by the way. He you know who that is now. Maybe. I don't. Maybe you don't. There's four of them. It's Bill Engvall, by the way. This process, you know, and see what happens is then that copy becomes even worse than the original. You ever made a copy on a Xerox machine? You know, you make a copy, then there's the next generation, then there's the next generation, and the next generation, it gets fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier. Where it's hard to even discern what the original was sometimes. And see, that's what the world wants to program in us. Here's a proven fact that 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. No wonder the world system attacks fathers. Statistically, if you win a father to the Lord, about 85% of the families will follow that father into church. That's why the world goes after fathers, because the world recognizes the strength and the importance. It's not to minimize women. It just simply says that the world understands and God knows the importance of godly men and godly fathers. And by the way, if you're not a father, you're not excluded from this. Because as a man, you can still speak into life. You know what really means a lot to these little guys when they're up there? Is that when you and I go to them and say, I'm so proud of you. When I was a five-year-old, there was a Sunday school teacher that came to my house. I'm 55. That was 50 years ago. Hugged my neck in front of my mother and father. Said, I am so proud of Michael. He's such a good boy. I'm so glad he's in my Sunday school class. That was 50 years ago. I can tell you what they were wearing. I can tell what color eyes they had. I can tell you their hair color. I can tell you how old they were. I remember that time just as though they were standing here right now. I can see a picture of it if I close my eyes, in color, by the way, because I'm weird. It made that much of an impact in my life. My second grade teacher, Mrs. Isley, in front of my dad, said, I am so proud of him. He's such a good boy. He's a smart young man. My sixth grade teacher said the same thing. You don't think I remember that? Obviously I do. And so even as men, if we don't have children, we can go to other young men. We can go to young men. We can go to these guys in JBQ and say, I am so proud of you. You're memorizing the Word of God. That is so awesome. Thank you. That means a lot. Those people that spoke into my life were not my parents, although my parents did. But I just gave you three examples of people who had an impact in my life as a child, and I still remember them. I can tell you everything you'd like to know about them as far as their hair color, their age, their appearance, when it was, what time of day it was. Tell me that doesn't have an impact. It obviously does. It means a lot. So we're not freed from that responsibility. But yet we have the opportunity to mentor, if you will. Let me share something with you. He's not here tonight, but he won't mind if I share this. Paul Blevins, I go out and play golf with him sometimes. You know why? Because I don't know what it's going to be like to be older. Now hear me, okay? I used to think if you got to be 30, you would be old. Some of you remember that, thinking like that. Think to myself, 30 is so old. And now I think 40 was so old. And 50, oh, whoa, man, you were like one foot in the grave. Then 60, 70, no way. Nobody's that old. But even in my 50s, I'm saying, what's it going to be like to be older? I don't know. I'm not, you know, because I'm used to running around and go where I want to go and get on my bike. I'll ride 20, 30, 40, 50 miles. Yeah, it's fun. Can I do that when I'm 76? Can I have fun when I'm 76? Can I even enjoy life? But I go out with people like Paul Blevins, and go out and hit the golf ball, and we're laughing and cutting up and joking. And sometimes I've looked at him and said, you know what? Being 76 is kind of cool. I'm learning from him. I see a godly role model ahead of me. And so I see that at 70, he's not my father. You understand? But he's a man who can speak into my life. Because I look at him and say, like, man, 76 isn't so bad. I can do that. So we have that responsibility to speak, even though we might not be parents, into lives and instruct them in godliness and righteousness by our example and by what we say and the way we live. Here's what it says, by the way, if you don't have a father, my father's passed away. I was in my late 20s when he passed away. Here's what it says in Psalm 68:5. If you don't have a father, God says that if you let him, he will be a father even to the fatherless. Many times I say, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. Would you help me? Because I have no idea. I watch people very carefully. And I learn from their example. In my late 20s, I'd never raised kids before. I didn't know anything about that stuff. My father was dead. So I began to surround myself and begin to ask godly men for wisdom and for instruction and for understanding so that I could learn. See, if you were not left with a legacy from your father and mother, then guess what? Start one. Begin a legacy in your own life. If you got to start from scratch, start from scratch. My great, 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 great grandfather was a moonshiner. He was also a drunkard. And his five sons after him are all buried out in a field, and there's just only stones marking where they're buried. I wondered about that. Then I found out that they had given all their money away or drunk all their money away or whatever, and so they could only afford to put stones there. I know where every one of those stones are and which ones they represent. In that, I learned something about them. But my great-grandfather started his own legacy. He got saved, and he got set free. So the sixth and seven generations before him, he broke the curse, if you will, through the power of Jesus in his life and started another legacy, if you will, and changed things completely around by the power of God. If you don't have a legacy, start one. If one wasn't given to you, start one. If you don't know how to start one as a man of God, go to men of God and ask them. That's why we have Mega Men on Thursday night. Yes, that is a plug for Mega Men. That's why we have Mega Men. There are men that come to Mega Men who have not been there before in the sense of their relationship with God. And they say, God, I don't know how to do this. They're in a safe environment. Connecting with other men they can call in the middle of the night and say, I don't know how to do this stuff. Who can speak into their life. I do not know of a man who does not need that. I've yet to find one. It's a safe place. So I'm going to leave you with about 10 things here about being a father and being a man of God and being a role model and a mentor, if you will. So if I could share those with you. Number one, reject the world's view of you as a father. That's not you. That's not who you are. Reject the world's view of you as a father. We are not bumbling buffoons. That's not who we are. We are men of God. We are men of integrity. We're men who've been called by the Lord Jesus Christ out of darkness into his glorious light. We have been called to create and carry out a legacy. We've been called to declare the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. We've been called to point other people to Jesus Christ. We've been called to be used by Him to point others to Him. That's who we are. We're men who can call upon the wisdom of God if we don't know what to do. But we're also going to be men of compassion. We're men of passion. I was watching The Biggest Loser last week. This person talked about having lost 70 pounds. I've lost 70 pounds. And before I realized it, tears were running down my face. And I went, my first thought was, men don't cry. See, that's in here. That's in here. In here was saying something else, you see. Then I remembered that I'd asked God years ago, God, would you help me to shed tears because I hardened myself growing up? And so without even thinking about it, tears are running down my eyes. I thought, thanks, God. That's pretty cool. I'm supposed to be like that. See, we're afraid somehow if we show that emotion, we'll become blubbering idiots. That's the way the world portrays us if we cry. But that's not who we are. So we have to reject what the world says about us. Number two, we have to accept God's view of who we are. Now, it's kind of interesting that they quote out of Romans 8 because I was going to read out of Romans 8, so I think it's awesome that they quoted out of that. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, or chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, that's who God says we are. People that walk after the Spirit. People that are not carnally minded, but people that are spiritually minded, because in that is life and peace, it says. But it says we're not in the flesh, but the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, it talks about that. And then it goes on to say in the last few verses of that same chapter, very, very powerful. Wow, I've got my context in. I still can't see this. What does that mean? Getting younger. That's exactly what that means. Oh, thank you. Light. Oh, my goodness, it's light. Here's what it says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, men, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely with Him give us all things? Men, everything we need to be a man of God. God says that He'll give it to us. And then you heard the kids quote the verse, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. That's who we really are. Whatever we need to be, whatever God has called us to be. See, we've been redeemed from the curse of the past, all the junk of the past. We've been redeemed from that. We've been set free from that. The past doesn't have any more hold or grip on us. They can't be broken by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the past condemn you. I shared it with you before, but I'm going to share it with you again. I remember apologizing to my son, remembering all of my failures. That is how the enemy speaks to us. When my son responded to me and said, Dad, you have nothing to apologize for. God in you has been the best father a young man could ever have. That's how God sees us. Not that we're perfect, because we're not. But His grace covers all that stuff, all that junk from the past. See, we're surrounded by those who care for us and those that stand with us. Again, that's another plug, as far as I'm concerned, for Mega Men. We need to be around people that speak life into us and encourage us. Those guys that claim in the past they would be with us all the time and hang around with us, people that we used to hang out with, that would always tempt us to do the wrong thing, those aren't our buddies. Those aren't our friends. Those aren't people we can count on. And we can count on them to get us in trouble. Those aren't our friends. Number three, determine what your legacy will be. It's a process, and it needs kind of regular evaluation, if you will, and consideration. But determine what your legacy is going to be. What is it that you would want to be said about you? What is it that you would want to leave? I just, after getting hit by a truck, I sat down one day in my office, and I just said, God, you got my attention, so if there's anything that you need to say to me, I'm listening. And I remember, and I just felt really strong that God was saying to me, make sure that at this stage of your life, you don't get tripped up. Finish strong. Finish strong. Press in even harder than you've ever pressed in before. And I remember saying, God, I'm sorry you had to get me hit by a truck to convince me of that. I'm just teasing. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying. That's what I want to leave. Might be different for you. That's okay. So I want to make sure that I don't slow down now. You know what I'm saying? Pedal to the metal. To not get tired, not get weary. To whip my body into shape, if you will. Paul said he literally trained or beat his body. He uses the word, he beat his body. That's what I feel like I do sometimes at the gym. But he trained himself physically and spiritually so that he would make sure that he would finish strong and not get tripped up. So determine what the legacy will be. Number four, surround yourself with men that you can learn from. I shared with you about Paul and golf and other people. See, at 55, I still know that I need to ask people. I still need people to speak into my life. I still need people to... I went on a call one time with one of the deputy sheriffs, and it was a really bad situation, very bad scene. And I remember as I was heading towards home, it just shook me. In the past, I just go, just toughen up, you know, get a bite of stick, you know what I mean? I toughen up and just say, I'll be okay, and smack myself, I'll be okay, because I'm a tough guy. It's kind of like, you know, you see those movies, a guy gets shot 3 or 4 times, and he just toughens up, you know, he bites on a tree limb and then sews himself up with some fishing line and goes on, you know. That's the way we guys are sometimes. I realized I just needed to stop and pray and call a friend and we just prayed together over the phone because I needed that. But see, I'd surrounded myself with people I could do that with. That even though I was sitting in the car just crying and upset because it was very emotional, I could talk to somebody that wouldn't make fun of me and go like, what are you doing crying? Man, what's wrong with you? But somebody would say, hey man, I hear you. Just talk it out and let's pray. We need that, men. We need that. By the way, number five, don't be embarrassed to ask for help. God gives grace for when we're humble. God gives grace. By the way, we're going to need that. We're going to need that. It's kind of funny. My wife knows this about me. I'm the kind of guy that if you say, hey, we need to go fly that airplane. Now, I've never flown an airplane before. I'll sit down and I'll look at the controls and I'll open the book real quick and I'll read through it and go like, I can do this. Yeah, let's go. In fact, in my dream one time, one of my dreams, I flew a MiG-31, which is classified. But I could fly it because I read the book. in Russian. I can speak Russian in my dreams. It's amazing. See, guys, we think we can do it all on ourselves, and when we realize we can't. We need to understand that. We need to know that we need to walk in humility. Sometimes my kids would ask me questions, and I would go like, I have no earthly idea. So I just try to buffalo my way through it like I knew what I was talking about. Now, they got to where at 2 and 3, you know, and 4, you know, they thought, wow, Dad's really smart. Then they got to be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. They go like, no, wait a minute. No, this is, that man's snowing me. But see, I would keep right on going sometimes, just thinking if I talked enough and sounded smart enough that I could somehow fake my way through that. By the way, men, it's okay to say, hey, I don't know, let's find out. Some of the best times I remember with my kids is when we explored the answer and found out together. Rather than me just saying, how many of you remember Mr. Know-It-All on Rocky and Bullwinkle? Some of you guys say your age. Mr. Know-It-All, you know, he knew everything. Not really. And that's who we think we are sometimes. We don't have to be that, by the way. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, let's pray about it. It's okay to say, hey, let's find out the answer together. It's okay to do all that stuff. There's an adventure. 40 said this, number 6, determined to advance in advance to finish strong, getting people to hold you accountable. We men, we need accountability. We need people to speak in our life, people to say no to us, people that can look at us and say, come on, man. Art Bakewell, my writing buddy, many times he has smacked me and said, buddy, check it. You can do it. Come on. And I need people like that. My wife does that to me from time to time. She's only 5'2", but she's pretty tough. We need people that will hold us accountable, that will speak into our life. Ben, we need that. No man, it said, is an island. No man can do it by himself. And it's okay. See, the world paints an image of us. I remember growing up, you know, again, I'm the guy that I don't fall asleep on the airplane because I've watched so many movies. I know that if something happens, I can fly it. Because I do it in my dreams all the time. You know, I look over at the guy next to me and say, by the way, if something happens to the plane, just tell him to see me. I can fly this thing. Don't worry about it, you know. And see, that's how we that's that false image again. That's that John Wayne false image that the world has portrayed on us. That as a man, we should be able to do anything, fix anything, do anything, be anything. And that's not who we are. That's that world's image. It presses into us. Number 7, if you don't have children, you can still make examples, speak into the life of other people just by complimenting them, saying you're proud of them, speaking to other people's life. Be an example. Be a godly example. Be a man of God. Be someone that people can look up to and people can see in you the image of Christ. By the way, more is caught, number 8, by your children than what is taught. If your children don't see it, they will disregard our instruction. We can speak it, but if they don't see it, they'll disregard any of our instruction. The days of saying, do it because I said so, are probably gone. Don't do as I do as I say. That has never been right. And it never will be. By the way, number 9, we're fixers by nature, as I mentioned before. That's our first response. Sometimes children just need to talk out things. They just need to have us listen. I was always quick. When my kids would talk to me about a problem, I was, got the answer here for you. But many times they just wanted to talk it out. I do that to myself sometimes. I talk out loud and talk out a problem. Would I expect my kids to be any different? But they've given me the privilege for them to come to me and let me hear their thoughts and hear their concerns and hear their heart and help them reach the right conclusion. See, sometimes we just need to listen and hear. I have to guard myself because I'm quick to jump to conclusions. You see, Proverbs says it's not wise to respond to a matter before you hear it. This is not Jeopardy. You know, it's not. By the way, there's a penalty if you get the wrong answer. And typically, you get the wrong answer if you try to answer before you hear all the question. That's the way that works. Raising children is no different. Number 10, I think this is very important. We need to accept our responsibility as we learn to be what it means to be a man of God. Don't leave it up to someone else to communicate to your children what God has given you responsibility for. The world is not supposed to teach our children what safe sex is. The world is not supposed to teach our children what standards they are to live by. We're not to assume as men that people that our kids will just get it, because they won't if we don't help them. We have to accept our responsibility as we learn to what it is to be a man of God, and then impart that to our children. They need that. Those statistics that we read earlier prove that the world needs men of God. Men of integrity, men of holiness, who will stand up for what's right. And God says he will give us the grace to do that if we call upon his name. Pastor.
Wow. If there's been any reason
to feel that you have to raise your children in the blind, that's a lie. We need each other to get this come to pass, get this to be fulfilled. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study and show yourself to prove unto God as workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you say, well, I, as you heard tonight, we're a family. Another name for the church is the family of God.
Right.
And sometimes it's just because of either an independent spirit or a stinking pride that allows marriages and families to implode because people are too proud to either admit a previous failure or admit they need help. And they have all the time in the world to go here and there for looking for a quick fix instead of submitting themselves to learn, see what it's like to be a woman of God, a man of God, children of God. And together we could fill in those blanks and help each other. And that's why I just... thrilled to see this. It's probably going to be, it's about 8 months we've been doing the C Factor, and it started with the cause and the cleaving and the covenant, and now our children. You don't have to go through this alone. And the truth is, many people would rather have a prime time counseling appointment next week and be home tonight watching television. And so when people start whining to you about how hard it is with their husband or wife or their children, you could say, I have good news for you. You don't have to whine. Come to the Keep. Come to Mega Men. Come to
church.
Yes, that's a good one. Come to church. Come to Wednesday night. You know, to sit in front of the television. You know, come out. Yeah, that's great. And it's amazing what will happen. And now... And so please, the rest of the body of Christ, other people on the office, in the marketplace, say, you know what? You don't have to go through this alone. We could offer you help, our church. Come on out. People don't have a clue in the world today. They don't have a clue how to love their wives as Christ loved the church. They don't have a clue how to submit themselves unto their husbands. They have a clue of how not to provoke the children. Have a clue how to teach children to honor their mother and father.
That's right.
But they got time for everything else. Time to stand in lines, to get assistance, to get help, to wait for stimulus and wait for this and wait for the God of this world, government. And it all is on sinking sand. But God's word, we have a sure word of prophecy. Heaven and earth will pass away, the 10-point question. Should be 100 points. But it's heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word shall remain forever. Jesus said that. This is where we'll remain forever. But so look at the tools that we have available for all of us, each other. So stand with me. It's so good to see you tonight. I bless you.